Let us open our Bibles to Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 4. And we read it earlier already, but I want you to open right there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And let's read it again together as we begin our study on this text. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My goal this morning in going back to this text, although I touched on it already a couple weeks ago, is to plead with all of you to do everything in prayer. I say that because I strongly believe that if this element of Christian life is not present with us individually and as a congregation, then we will be anxious at all time and not truly experience the power of God. We will not experience the power of God in a supernatural way. And if prayer is missing in our Christian lives, then nothing will be guarding our hearts and our minds in a way we respond to every circumstance in this life. And if prayer is missing in our lives and in our life together as a church, our worship services will not provide any kind of experience or some kind of experience that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because only the power of God can accomplish that, and that can, or in other words, cannot be accomplished merely by any of our strengths. And so I say that because the affections of our hearts are supernaturally transformed, and the glory of Christ is seen and savored beyond what we can do. Real experience of worship and experiencing that supernatural power is beyond what we can do. And so preaching and teaching and singing and evangelism, if that is not provided or sustained by the supernatural power of God, it will be experienced only at a human level. And I don't want to stay right there. I want to experience something here at Desiring God Community Church that's beyond human level. And so, I pray that we will become that kind of church. That we will send missionaries, that we will do evangelism, but doing it not based on our own strength. I want to experience it in a supernatural way so that we will not become anxious whether we are being effective or not in a way we do ministry. You see, we become easily anxious in this life because our hearts and our minds are not guarded by the peace of God. We see that clearly in our text. We need to pray in order that, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding or all comprehension, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So there is a main reason here why the Apostle Paul said this once again. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago and several weeks before that Paul exhorted the Philippian church to rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord always. We see that in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And then he moved into prayer. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? Why prayer is so important in rejoicing? Actually, if you go back to chapter 1, 9 through 11, this has been the Apostle Paul's prayer. He's praying something specific here. And he wants the Christians in this church in Philippi to continue what they have started, that they will persevere to the end. So that was his prayer. And so what we see that in chapter 1, 9 through 11, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the Apostle Paul prayed that way, and he then challenged the Philippians to remain, he prayed for them so that they will remain loving, discerning, and blameless. And so at the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul mentioned prayer one more time, and he said, the Lord is near. He's coming back. He's returning. The Lord is at hand. So then, pray. He said, pray. Time is short. Life is short. Christ is coming. Pray with supplication and thanksgiving. So what I want to do this morning is unfold at least three areas of our lives. When I say lives, that means our minds and our souls, you know, and our hearts. Three areas of our lives that are affected by prayerlessness. In other words, there are three areas here that we must guard, that must be guarded by prayers that we see from our text this morning. So the main question is, why should we pray with thanksgiving? What's this kind of prayer that the Apostle Paul is talking about? Why? What can be guarded by this prayer of thanksgiving? Three things. No, three places here. Prayer guards our hearts and minds against anxiety. That's number one. That's the first one. The second one is prayer with thanksgiving guards our hearts and minds against the sin of ungratefulness and self-pity. And then the third one, prayer guards our hearts and minds from attempting to accomplish only what we can do in our own strength. So let's begin with the first one. Why should we pray like this? Why should we pray with thanksgiving? We must pray like this because this kind of prayer or praying in itself will guard our hearts and minds against anxiety. You see, we live in a world where there's so much to worry about and makes us really anxious. Personally, I get anxious about, you know, as I think of myself as a minister. And I think this is real for all ministers, maybe more than me. I think and I pray that I will not be disqualified. I pray about that. I wake up in the morning praying, Lord, I pray that I will not be disqualified in ministry. And all over the country, and I think about that because people are, you know, pastors are failing to remain in ministry due to different situations, maybe personal, maybe marital, maybe moral. And so I think about that. And I pray to God that I will not be disqualified. We also get anxious about aging. I'm not talking about teenagers yet. Actually, I woke up one day this week feeling a little old. I was aching from the previous day's work. I used my chainsaw and my right shoulder, he was aching when I woke up, and this feeling was not normal to me. And I got a little bit worried about that. You see, before I get hurt, I play soccer, play basketball, whatever, and I got hurt, and the following day I wake up, and I can play again, and I don't feel any pain. And so this was different. I was aching. That worried me. But I know that there are other problems in the world. There are problems beyond this one. There are a lot of young people today who are anxious about whether they will get married or not. And actually, I heard a story this week about a woman who just broke a relationship with a man because he simply did not take any responsibility in a Christian way, or no godly leadership in that relationship, and so she had to do that. She wanted to be a wife and a mother. That's her dream. But she said, without a man who truly relies on God, it is nothing. Only heartache. And sometimes she said, I lose hope that there are men who really are like that. And she said, but I know there are. And so I will continue to trust in the Lord. I will continue to trust in God. And so what's the goal of prayer? Being thankful in prayer releases us from fear and worry. The presence of worry could mean a believer doesn't understand the supremacy of God and the sovereignty of God, that He is in control of all things. And so prayer helps us to see and puts us in a category that we are unable to do a lot of things in our lives that we need, and we must trust in God's sovereign control. And so if we understand that God will supply all of our needs, and that He knows everything about our lives, and that He cares about us, and that He has the power to release all of His energy to do good things for us, and nothing escapes His notice, then we will not be anxious. We will pray, and we will not be anxious. And so, that's the way to fight anxiety. Pray. Prayer is our weapon to fight against anxiety. That's what it says in verse 6. Do not be anxious. And how do you fight that? Be prayerful. That means turning every care, turning everything that's care into a prayer of thanksgiving. If you care about it and you're concerned about it, pray about it. What do we care about this life? Many. Actually, the Bible said, Matthew 6:25, warning us, telling us not to worry about those things, not to care about those things. And basically talking about food, clothing. But beyond that, we worry about comfort. We worry about, we get anxious about safety. And talking about safety, in the last 2 weeks alone, I was at Home Depot, and a guy carrying a box of a tool, standing there in front of the store waiting for this car to pass by, hoping that, he will cross the sidewalk with his item. Didn't happen. The guy, the box was snatched from him right there in front of my eyes. And I thought, wow. And here in our testimony with Albert happening this last Sunday, we think about safety. We sometimes we become worried about that. But actually, the Bible said, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body and what you shall put on. And so the question is, why do we tend to worry about those things or these things? At least three reasons why we tend to worry. First, we worry that we would lose pleasures in them, by not having them. We worry because we're afraid that we will lose some human acknowledgement or praise or admiration. We do not have nice, or you know, clothing, or maybe car, or house. And thirdly, we're afraid of not having safety because we want to live longer and without pain. And sometimes, most of the time, at least I know in my life, I have to really fight these things in my heart and in my mind. And so why did the Bible say, do not worry about those things? We need them, right? It's good to have them, but why did the Bible say not to worry about those things? Why? The truth is, they are not what you need the most. Yes, they're good, but they are not what you need the most. What you need the most is God Himself. And so my challenge for you is to be thankful in your prayers for what you already have. And if you have Christ in your heart, if you have believed in Christ, then everything else in the world does not matter. They don't matter anymore. And so if you are not a believer and you worry about many things, I challenge you and I plead and I ask you to surrender to the gospel, to Christ, because He is all you need. Christ accomplished your ultimate safety, your ultimate comfort on the cross. Confess your sins to God and believe in Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And I said earlier that everything else in the world really doesn't matter because actually they don't provide a white hot enjoyment of God. They don't. What you should care about in this life are things that bring you closer and closer to an enjoyment of God. And so if food and vacation and computers and cars are not drawing you closer to God, I believe that we should turn our eyes to the surpassing value of Christ so that we will not continue living this life worrying, what's my next car? What's my next house? What's my next this and that? Am I really getting it so that people will look at me with admiration feeling, you know, saying that, oh, he is a successful man. And so what we should care about in this life are things that bring us closer to the enjoyment of God. And that will only happen when we pray. When we pray. So prayer guards our hearts from anxiety. That's why we need to pray that way. And secondly, that's the first one. Secondly, prayer with thanksgiving. We see that again in verse 6. Asking the readers or the church to pray with thanksgiving because it will guard our hearts and our minds against ingratitude and self-pity. Why did I say that? Why will prayer with thanksgiving guard our hearts and our minds? You see, when we go to God in prayer, in that prayer with thanksgiving, at least three reasons why that is connected to this guarding us from ingratitude. When we go to God in prayer, we are not like beggars. When we go to the Lord in prayer. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. We do not come to God in prayer as if He had left us absolutely penniless. And we cry to Him like a starving, you know, prisoner behind bars. That's not our situation when we go to the Lord in prayer. That's why we have a lot of things to be thankful for. We do not ask God for things and for what we need, feeling like we are absolutely hopeless. Again, I'm talking here to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we have received immense favors from God, from His abounding kindness. And so that can be a reason to be thankful for. We do not come to God as slaves and feeling like we are begging for little food or a day off or something like that. We come to God with thankfulness because we already have received so much. And so therefore I urge you for a while to think about that. That in prayer, with thanksgiving, think about how faithful God has been to you, and that will lead you into that, your mind away from self-pity, and it will lead you away from ungratefulness. Do you see that? Do you see that? And what is wrong if there's no thankfulness in our prayers? What's wrong? It is an evidence of lack of submission to His will. If there's no thankfulness in our hearts, it is a picture of lack of submission to His will. You see, in a human level here, we thank our friends or people in our lives sometime quickly than we are thankful to God. The problem in here is that it's different with our submission to the will of God. When we know that God is at work in our lives, even when it's difficult, that is something to be thankful for. And I have an example for you in Habakkuk 3:17-19. When hard things are happening, or something that we expected are not happening yet, or opposite from what we are expecting are happening, we have a reason to be thankful for. Because if we are not thankful, then it's a non-submission to His will. And Habakkuk said, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. How was he able to say that? How was Habakkuk able to say that? Because he did not lack submission to the sovereign providence of God. And so ungratefulness is a picture of evil before God. And then what is the result of the presence? I already mentioned a little bit about that, the presence of thanksgiving in our prayer. The lack of it is evil, and the presence of it actually ends in praising God and glorifying His name and praising His attributes in love. It ends in praises. Imagine when you are desperately needing something and you feel like you've been forsaken and you pray like that. What will happen to you in your prayer? You will start what? You will start praising God. You will not feel self pity. You will not feel abandoned. You will start praising God. And that is why thanksgiving, prayer with thanksgiving, is so crucial in the lives of Christians. A mark of true thankfulness is that we love not the things that we receive, but we love the person, God, who's giving it. There's an example here that I love so much. It's about George Mueller, about thankfulness in prayer. You've heard about George Mueller. He was an English missionary back in the 1800s, started the orphanage in Bristol, England, and he was actually so astonishing. In a way, he thanked the Lord for things or mercy, such and such mercy that he prayed for and praised the Lord months before he received them. He praised the Lord for them, for those things, though he had not actually obtained them yet. And you think, is that unreasonable? Can you really thank God for something that you haven't received yet? Well, let me give you an example. Let's say for a moment, Josiah needs, he lives in an apartment. He said, Dad, I need help with my rent at the end of this month because I don't have enough to pay for, at the end of the month. I cannot pay for it. Can you please help me? And I say, yes, I'll help you. Do you think that he will wait for me to send a check and for the check to be cleared before he will say thank you to me? I'm sure he will say thank you to me even if I have not written the check yet to give him to pay for that, to help him pay for that rent. Right? We do that. He will thank me in advance. Do we do that to God? We pray to God, Lord, I pray that you will save. George Mueller did this. I pray that you will save such and such a person. And George Mueller was already thanking God for the salvation of that person. Because he knew that God will do it. Not based on his own strength, but because he knew that God will do it. And so in the same manner, when we pray to God, asking God, we say, Lord, thank you that you will provide for everything that I need. Or you ask God for strength and for everything that you imaginable that will sustain you to be a good father, to be a good husband or wife. And you thank God for it because you know that God will do it in advance, thanking God all the time. That is not unreasonable. No, it's not unreasonable. It shows that we are grateful, right? It guards our hearts and our minds against anxiety and against self-pity. So that is the reason why we need to pray that way with thanksgiving. And thirdly, our text says, let your requests, lots of them, let your request be made known. There was something I realized as I was pondering on this text. Thinking of the word requests. Requests. There are many. There are a lot of them. And so the question that came to my mind is, am I asking God for everything? Or do I only ask God for something that I think will most likely happen? Do you do that? The Bible said, let your request be made known. And you ask, you think, okay, I will ask God for this because I think this might happen. But you don't really ask for something that's impossible. So what do you do when there is a need that is so big and that there's nothing you can do about it, or there's nothing you can do to take care of it on your own? The Bible said, let your request be made known. That is, there are things that are impossible for us to accomplish or for us to get or to give or whatever they may be. And that is the reason why prayer exists. Because there are things that only God can do. That's why prayer exists. So the question is, are you asking God in your prayers for things that can only be done supernaturally? Healing, maybe? When it's beyond medical explanation? Do you pray for healing? And you see, when we pray like that, that's when our faces before God are brought so low, and we confess our sins, that we confess our weaknesses, because we know that this will not happen unless God will come down and do it. And so we pray. We must pray because we cannot do, there are things that we cannot do on our own. And that we should be prayerful more about those things. And you say, impossible things for us to do. How? Why can I do it? No, what will comfort me to do that? Here are some of the things. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Not by your own strength, by God's grace and mercy and power. Isn't it breathtaking to hear his brother James also saying here, you do not have because you do not ask. James 4:2. And to put it positively, we have not because we ask not. And so God's response to prayer, the all-knowing God, all-foreseeing, all-planning, all-governing God, his answer to prayer is that, yes, I will do it for you so that my name will be glorified. You see, if we can do it on our own strengths, then people will praise us. People will say, oh, good job. You see, there are things that we need to pray for that only God can accomplish so that we will experience the power or that thankfulness to God in so many different ways. So what are some examples? Here are of those things. In the area of evangelism, don't just pray that you will have an opportunity to speak to your neighbor or friend or brother or sister about Christ, or that you will have the right words to say. Do not just pray that God will give you courage to speak about, you know, to tell your testimony. Pray beyond that. Pray for something supernatural. Pray that God will turn your friend's heart into a heart of flesh, from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, so that he will or she will receive the gospel. You cannot do that. Only God can do that. So pray that way. Pray that God will change minds and hearts, not just for you to be able to say what you need to say. And in doing all kinds of ministry here at Desiring God, don't just pray that we'll be able to keep on doing what we are normally doing, or to get some new ideas. Let us aim to preach and teach and evangelize and do mercy ministries in the power of the Holy Spirit so that people are supernaturally awakened. from unbelief and be changed. Not because of what we can do, but because of God's power. And personally, I want to challenge you. Ask God, ask Him for things that are only possible for God, but not possible through our own efforts. And when I say that, let me give you some little things. So even from the making of a meal for Global Cafe, or changing diapers there at the nursery, if you serve in the nursery, or leading praise songs here, or teaching Sunday school, teaching children and teenagers. We may think those are simple things, but the prayer here is that let us pray that God will supernaturally work in our hearts that as we do them, lives are transformed. That lives are changed. And there are so much more to accomplish that are so massive, such as healing, restoration, reaching our community with the gospel. And so our aim should be to do all these things by the grace that God supplies, so that in everything He gets the glory. And that is impossible without God's special supernatural grace. So I want to challenge you to pray that way. Think right now of something that's impossible to accomplish by your own strength, and pray for it with supplication and thanksgiving. There are many. I mean, right now I think about this. I'm so thankful for Fredwell, you know. Every Sunday we set up here, drag the sound system back and forth, the van driven from, you know, place to place. Wouldn't it be nice, helpful for our praise band if we have a permanent place where we do not have to set up all those things? Is it possible right now? No, it's not, right? Does that mean we cannot pray for that? I mean, we can do that. We think about so many things, and how we want to send more missionaries to the unreached people groups. Do you think it's possible in a year? I don't know, maybe not. And I'm not hopeless when I think about those things, because I know that God is more than able to do all things for His name's sake, so that we will continue to be thankful. Do you think it's possible for Cody and I and Tyrone and Tom to, by our own strengths, to shepherd you? I don't think so. I don't think so, and that's why I pray that I will be able, in my weakness, to be sustained by the power of God supernaturally, so that I may minister to you. That's how I pray. So I challenge you this morning. I want you to pray that way with me. I plead with you to be this kind of church, individuals here at Desiring God Community Church. I have an invitation for you to join me in prayer for things, for ministries, for items that we cannot do based on our own here at Desiring God. And what I want to do for 4 weeks is to fast and pray. And I want you to join me. I want you to join me on this. I want you to join me praying that God will accomplish great things in the next 4 weeks. And what I will do is begin
thinking and praying Tuesday evening and fast the following day, morning, noontime, until sundown, praying for things that are impossible for me to do. And I have 20 cards here, I think, hope, maybe more. And I want you to take one if you want to commit yourself to that, to prayer for those things. And I don't want you to give the card back to me saying, I'm joining you, Pastor Fred or Fred. I want you to keep it as a reminder that for the next 4 Wednesdays that you will be fasting and praying with me. To pray. Expecting God to work supernaturally. I'm not going to give you the prayer requests. Some of you know them already. Some of you may have your own prayer requests. And so as you gather together with those who are also praying this week, next week, the following week, that what I hope and I pray to see, as Cody prayed this morning, both in our prayer time there at 8:15 and here at the beginning of our service, that friends and families will gather together in pockets, praying together as a result of this, pleading to God that He will do supernatural things. That when we come to worship together, we will not just greet one another back there in the sanctuary and say, okay, let's, you know, good to see you. I know how are things going. But that you will pray to God. And at the end of the service, that we will not just say, okay, good to see you. What's your plan for lunch and that? But that we will pray. That's my hope. And that's my prayer. And so take one if you wish. And if you want to commit to this, I don't want this, you know, half-heartedly. And as we pray, and in closing prayer here, I want you to commit to that. Because you love the Word of God. You love God's promises. You want to be thankful to God. To pray with me on this. And so again, the Bible said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Would you do that? So that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray.